A short prayer. Father, I do pray you bless this time. I pray that you meet with us. Amen.
Amen.
Forgot the clicker. Don't worry. Don't worry. I don't know what you're thinking then. So I have, we have set readings, as you know, but I have moved away from them this morning for perhaps obvious reasons. You've all seen the pool of water at the back of church. Today, we're going to baptize three people. Ben on the left, Amelia, and then Poppy. Three people who have declared their faith in Jesus Christ. Three people who have repented of the sin that separates them from God. Poppy, on the very right, tells me that she wants to follow Jesus. Amelia tells me that she has come to the knowledge that she is loved by God. And Ben, who has had a fascinating journey from atheism to other things, has studied and come to the conclusion that Jesus is the truth. He was teaching me when I saw him in the week, do you know they have found the remains of the chariots that crossed the Red Sea in Moses' time? So they have found those ruins now, giving further evidence to what happened to the Jewish people. So in this baptism, we are observing the Lord's command, aren't we? As we just heard in the gospel reading, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to talk about the reading from Acts this morning. Just to set the context, it's the day of Pentecost, an annual Jewish festival, so people from surrounding nations have returned to their homeland. This is Jewish people. And it's on that day that God decides to pour out the Holy Spirit. And it causes something of a disturbance or a fray. I don't know how to describe it really, but it creates an opportunity, doesn't it? For Peter to preach his first sermon. And I don't know how many thousands heard the message, but 3,000 on hearing the message put their faith in Jesus, and then they were baptized. Well, today we're baptizing three people. I don't know we could cope with 3,000. And this is interesting, isn't it? I found this interesting. We're starting to understand that Peter's not such a bad choice. And those of you who know your Bibles well will understand what I'm saying. You know, Jesus selected 12 people. Peter, he selected to be the leader of these 12 people when he was gone. But just 8 weeks ago, the day on which Jesus is arrested, Peter apparently has never met him, has he? He denies all knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ out of fear. And now he's telling thousands of people that he does know Jesus Christ. What has changed? I believe the difference for Peter is the Holy Spirit. Peter is speaking in the strength of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the key points I want to make this morning. If you want to be useful to Jesus Christ, you need the Holy Spirit. When I worked, one of my first jobs after university was working at Samuel Taylor Limited. And I was at the start of my career. Maureen was at the end of hers, and she sussed me out. And one day she said to me, Paul, you are about as useful as a chocolate bodyguard. She had a variant to that. Paul, you're about as useful as a chocolate teapot. I mean, it was all banter and she was lovely. But you see my point. I want to be more useful to God than a chocolate fire guard, and I hope you do as well. We need the Holy Spirit. We must learn actually to depend on Him. That requires humility on our part. Jesus, what does Jesus say in John 15? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from God, we can do nothing of eternal significance. Full stop. We need the Holy Spirit. So moving on. I missed a few. Peter speaks. I mean, he's not worried about offending people, is he, Peter? Nor is Jesus, to be fair. I'm a little bit worried about offending people, but maybe too much. But he says, this man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And then he says, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death. Do you realize that you are part of the reason why Jesus was put to death? All of us. Sadly, historically, we've often blamed the Jews, haven't we? It's one of the causes of anti-Semitism. Yes, the Jews were responsible for the death of Jesus, but so were the Gentiles. It was the weak Pontius Pilate who gave into the crowds, wasn't it, and sanctioned his death. It was the Roman soldiers who carried out his instructions. But I believe also you and me, we share our part in this. Jesus died for the Jewish people who shouted, crucify him. He died for the Roman soldiers who put the nails into his hands, but also for the evil that you do and the evil that I do. John says in his first letter, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Everyone's, yours, mine, everybody's. But if you have turned to Christ, then your sins are on him. In a sense, he has become sin for you. 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Isn't it amazing? Without Christ, we are counted amongst the wicked. We are seen as evil. Through Christ, we have become the righteousness of God. It's amazing, isn't it? It is amazing what God in Jesus Christ has done for each one of us, how he has transitioned us. I mean, you might not see yourself as evil. I don't know that I do particularly, but in God's sight, we are seen as evil without Jesus Christ. With Jesus Christ, we are seen as holy. Having told the crowd that they are responsible for his death, Peter says, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. But isn't it amazing? As death could not hold Jesus Christ, as it was impossible for death to hold Jesus Christ, it is equally impossible for death to hold you if you are in Jesus Christ. Amazing, isn't it? Some heard the message of Peter and were cut to the heart, and then Peter says these final few verses, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, all whom the Lord has called. Well, 2,000 years has passed, hasn't it? So I think we can agree that we are far off. Ben, Poppy, and Amelia are far off, but God has called them. They have responded, repented, put their faith in Jesus Christ. They, I believe, have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, and they are now counted amongst the righteousness, holy people of God. So, brothers and sisters, we who have heard the call of God, we who have responded, let us look to live in wonder and awe for what God has done for us. It is truly glorious. Let us look to live for His glory. This we do through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.